As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. Diginet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at diginet.net. That's diginet.net. diginet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your Diginet spy products today. Because video never lies.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown, getting a little bit of a late start here on today's broadcast. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and a defective Skype system here on my hands. Anyway, nevertheless, there's a revolution in the air. One of these days we're going to get this IT stuff straightened out. I'm certainly not a pleased camper at this moment. Welcome to our Friday. Thank God it's not the 13th. Friday, November the 20th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, if you've been trying to access my archives this week, you found that the first 5 to 10 minutes of the broadcast has been screwed up for days this week, and today's no exception. Anyway, my name is William Roberts, trying to paint on a happy face. I've got good news, hard facts, lots of that, and workable solutions for you as always. The call-in number, folks, is 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. That's out of the Austin, Texas area. If you have unlimited long-distance access or you'd like to take Oracle with you on the road on your mobile phone, and you can also call in at 866-841-1065 from around America and around the world, always and forever, at least in the near future. My email address is bvlhost@centurytel.net. bvlhost@centurytel.net. If you have any questions or comments that you'd like to address to me in regards to the the material that we share on the air. If you want to find out more information about some of the things that that I've discussed, I don't have a website up on the web these days. I may put one back up again, maybe in the over the next 30 or 40 days. We'll see how it goes. It's not something I'm familiar with doing, and so I don't like to take the time necessary to learn a new trade when I'm busy doing broadcasting. Anyway, nevertheless, for those without internet access, as always, I have a little post office box here in Exeter, Missouri. You're welcome to send me letters. Unlike some who hide behind everything in the world, I put my name and my address out for everyone. My name is William Roberts. You can send letters and inquiries to me at Post Office Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. It comes right to my post office box. I check it frequently, and you can communicate with me in that way if you're not on the internet. Again, it's William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. I received a wonderful gift the other day from one of our listeners, a very old copy of Robert's Rules of Order, hardbound edition, early 1900s edition. It's going to be a treasure, a valuable edition in my library. As many of you know, I have been a parliamentarian, so I understand and the importance of using that system, Robert's Rules of Order, but I appreciate that. Again, our listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and your calls are always welcome. Let's go back in. I'm going to give that market report again. I'm not even confident I was on air for the first 5 minutes. This is Friday, November the 20th, 2009, active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading off $5.70 at $1,138.90 an ounce. Silver was off 30 cents at $18.24 an ounce. Platinum was off 12 bucks at $1,431 an ounce. And palladium was off 7 at 360. But it's recovered that, the gold has recovered its 1,140 level so far in trading as I'm watching the other screens. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, rather interesting there, 1,131.70. For a low, $1,148 for a high. You can see we're trading just, it has a potential to go over that $1,150 today. Will it? I don't know. We'll see. A lot of pressure to try and drive it down. There was a big sell-off in early trading this morning, drove it right back down into the $1,130 level. But at $1,138.90, your gold is up $394.50. Year to year for a 52.98% return on your investment, which ain't half bad. The London Gold Fix, the guys in London set the price this morning at $1,142.50. And as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we were just below that. As of a few moments ago, we had just topped that again. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed off 94 yesterday at 10,332. The NASDAQ was off 36 at 2,157. The S&P was 500 was off 15 at 1,095. It's just a continuing thing. I've got a complete line of red ink here, with the exception of the U.S. dollar index, which we'll get to in a moment. But the crude oil trades off 68 cents a barrel. It's trading at $76.80 a barrel. And that U.S. dollar index, the ICE, this traded thing, it's a foreign product, it's a traded thing. It's not the dollar, it's just an index. But the index moves up 50 basis points, and who knows how many millions of dollars had to be spent to buoy that up. But anyway, it trades up 50 cents or 50 basis points and trades at 75.77. Of course, as you know, Robert Chapman predicted that it would be the USDX would be at 71.18 on October the 1st. It's been low, but it hasn't been anywhere near that low. We'll see what happens to it. As a result of the increase in the USDX, we see across the board decline in the foreign exchange market this morning, especially for our little basket of currencies here. The Canadian dollar trades off 63 basis points at 93 cents U.S. The Mexican peso drops 4 basis points, still trades, however, at 8 cents U.S. The euro loses 54 basis points, trades at $1.48, now 2 cents below its $1.50 mark that it hit earlier this week. The British pound off 108 basis points, trades at $1.65, and the Swiss franc, losing 56 basis points, trades at 98 cents U.S. The gold-silver ratio stands at 62.45 as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. In other words, it would have taken 62.45 ounces of silver to purchase 1 ounce of gold. And that's on bullion prices. The bonds in the bond market, a continuing decline in the two-year bond. The two-year bond is down to 0.69%. That's, you know, we've had that just a month or two ago. It was trading at 1% and higher. Now it's at 0.69%. The 10-year moves down a little bit further, 3.35%. And the 30-year treasury bonds, bond sales, you hear about all these bonds being sold. It's the 30-year is running at 4.30%. So that's going to make it more difficult to entice people to buy our debt. I would imagine that Binyamin Bernanke is having to eat all of the debt that they create and take back our bonds. In the mortgage market, we continue to see a decline here, just a trend that's coming up over the last couple of days. In the 15-year fixed rate, it's moved down now to 4.49% from 4.68 a month ago. This reverses where it was going earlier in last week, where we were starting to see it going higher. But now we seem to see some kind of a little pullback here, making it a little easier to get into fixed-rate mortgages. The 30-year is trading it down at 5.02% from 5.19% a month ago. So that's the market news for this morning. We've got a couple more articles along that line. I'll just give you this one quickly. Warren Buffett, some of you may have known or remember that he's involved in taking over Burlington Northern. And as some of you have listened in the past, you know that I brought out the relationship. Who is Jay Gould? Who is James Fisk? These were the 1800s to 1900s captains of finance and industry, no doubt about it, heavily invested in the railroad market at the turn of the last century. And in this turn of this century, we got J.P. Morgan stepping into the driver's seat of Burlington Northern Santa Fe Corp. We'll be back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use, sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pasteurize and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled seapanel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
The Animal Farm Radio Show.
This is the greatest show on radio because Pia is on the show.
I know.
Weeknights from 5 to 7 p.m. Central.
We have returned once again now that the bumper music is finally covered and gotten quiet. I tell you, I'm frustrated with the IT this morning, real frustrated. I could just take this new version of Skype and put it in the garbage. I don't know why they do that. I can't understand it. When I first started getting involved in the Internet a couple of years ago, I got Woody Harrell's Windows for Dummies book, and he has a really sage words of advice in there: resist updates. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of updating to the latest version of Skype, and it's about as clumsy and inefficient as anything you can imagine. The old version that I've had for over 18 months running flawlessly was so much superior. I don't know why they even bothered to update it, but now, you know, the screens are full of balloons and United Nations blue and rainbow and little raindrops and all the rest of the claptrap. It's so global, I'd just about dump it if it wasn't for the necessity of having it on the air. But anyway, it misfired this morning, didn't work very well for me, and is keeping me upset. Don't anger the badger. Anyway, here we go. Let's go back into this article. Buffett taps J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo for $8 billion. Didn't we just bail out these guys? Didn't we just give them billions? And here's Warren Buffett, and they're tapping them for $8 billion for a takeover loan. Here's the article, Andrew Fry and Emery Peaker off of Bloomberg this morning. J.P. Morgan Chase and Company, Wells Fargo and Company are arranging an $8 billion loan for Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway, Inc. to help finance the takeover of Railroad Burlington Northern Santa Fe Corporation. The banks are providing a one-year loan with an interest rate of 1 percentage point to 2 percentage points more than the London Interbank Offered Rate. That's the LIBOR, for our astute listeners. Fort Worth, Texas-based Burlington said yesterday, what are they doing in Texas? Why aren't they in Seattle, Washington? Anyway, they said yesterday in a regulatory filing, three-month LIBOR, a borrowing benchmark mark, was set at 0.27% yesterday. Buffett is risking Berkshire's AAA rating at Standard & Poor's by taking on debt and drawing down cash holdings to finance the $26 billion acquisition of Burlington. $26 billion he's getting the colossal railroad empire. Anyway, continuing here, it says Buffett has got, quote-unquote, got to have a Rolodex full of potential creditors, said Paul Howard, an analyst with Janie Montgomery Scott LLC's Langen McElhenney division in Hartford, Connecticut. How would you like to have to write that out every time you write a letter? I would put that into my cut, copy, and paste bin. I would type it one time and one time only. If he doesn't like the terms of one, he'll call the next. Berkshire, which has reported 2 straight quarterly profit increases, is benefiting from a decrease in its credit default swaps since March. The decline in the swaps, which protect creditors when borrowers don't pay, indicates that investors believe Berkshire's creditworthiness has improved. Buffett, the second richest American, wonder who their first richest American might be, is Berkshire's chief executive officer. Anyway, we can see that he's going out and borrowing $8 billion of probably our money to buy this railroad. Here's another one, reality check for investors mulling the sale of gold. Lots of people out there are looking at the price of gold now. They're trying to think whether they should or whether they shouldn't get involved in the gold market, whether they should buy and own gold, or whether they should get into this gold mining stocks, etc. Well, here's a little bit. This was written by a woman I don't know anything about, Myra P. Seifong. It was in our Market Watch article I found this morning out of Tokyo. It goes this way. It's an age-old question among investors, but one that's more pertinent than ever for traders facing never before seen levels in gold prices. How will you know when it's the right time to sell? Isn't that the perennial question? We always think about buying low and selling high. When will you know it's the right time to sell? Well, before I go into the rest of the article, just understand some of the tax consequences before you think about selling gold. You know, gold is considered a collectible, and it has one of the heftiest income tax hits. I think it's 28% of all. So you have to dial in that loss for income taxes when you think about getting involved with buying or selling gold. No matter how you look at it, make sure that you understand that going out before you go in. I'll just give you that warning. It's a fair question, given gold's shocking $100 an ounce climb over the last 4 weeks to a futures price above the $1,150 mark. The December gold contract had started out this year at only $885, and as I said this morning, year to year, we're up $394.50 in the price of gold. Investors will not know when to sell, as they will be so euphoric, all calls for selling will be ignored, said Ned Schmidt, editor of the Value View Gold Report. Quote unquote, euphoric is the operative word, euphoria. The precious metal has hit a fresh record high regularly since early October. Analysts have also been saying that much higher prices are far more likely than a drop back below the $1,000 level. And you can be pretty sure of that. Here's another quote. We may reach previous levels previously thought of as crazy. $5,000 an ounce or even $10,000 an ounce with plenty of volatility along the way, including pullbacks, said Patrick Kerr. Pullback is when the price goes down. Sometimes it might drop precipitously, but will it go back up again? That's the big question. You have to know, as they say, you got to know when to hold them and you got to know when to fold them. You get into these various and sundry things. He also predicts that those incredible prices are a possibility as early as the end of 2010. If not, then soon after. So we're looking at possibly a incredible spike. Of course, there are more conservative minds out there that say that, you know, this might take 2 or 3 years. But what is stopping it? What would prevent it from just taking a run? We talked yesterday in conversation with Vicki Davis, and we were talking, well, you know, can gold and silver actually monetize, you know, global debt? Well, one way out of all of this is, of course, is repudiating the U.S. debt. Just repudiate it. Well, what do you mean? Well, wouldn't that throw us into bankruptcy? Well, in a way, repudiation, we've talked about that in the past, but back in 1933... when Franklin Delano Roosevelt, guard-carrying communist that he is, was and will always be remembered for, the Mr. Alphabet Soup, he definitely put us in bankruptcy. You know, the Congress has been working as trustees in a bankruptcy ever since. But could gold go to $5,000 to $10,000 an ounce? Well, it's possible. Of course, you can always break it up into smaller and smaller pieces, you know. Not to say that, you know, it's going to be unfair, but those that are in the gold marketplace are those that are likely to prosper. There's no more of a whip and stick against them for having seen the future than it is talking about, you know, Warren Buffett buying a railroad. You're either in the market or you're not in the market. You either got something in the game or you don't. That's all there is to it. Continuing from the article, he also predicts that those incredible prices are a possibility again as early as the end of 2010. And why not, he says. Quote, central banks have begun diversifying away from fiat currencies and buying gold, mainly because they don't want their currency reserves devalued away to nothing. And that's exactly why people get involved in the gold market. They don't want their currency reserve. They don't want their wealth. Remember, we were talking with William from New York yesterday. It's not only a medium of exchange, but it's also a way to preserve your wealth. We'll pick it up here on the other side. Stay with us. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so going back into this concept, a reality check for investors mulling over the sale of gold or the purchase of gold, really. As this continues to go, you know, we've talked about this. I haven't gone into it in such great detail as many others who are far more knowledgeable on the topic than I in the past 10 years. But certainly the idea is that when gold was trading down at the bottom, I've I'm working out a couple of, we'll see whether I can get a couple of guests to come on and talk with me. But when gold was trading back near the bottom of the market, if you will, in the $250 and up range, you know, no one was interested. Everybody said, well, that's just, you know, that's ridiculous. I mean, who wants to get involved with gold? I mean, it's kind of so clumsy, it's old-fashioned, you know, it's only been around for a couple of thousand years and all that. Well, anyway, when you were getting the squeeze on your CDs and you saw that when your CDs were rolling over, you were moving from 9 and 10% interest down into 5 and 6% interest, and your return on your investment annually in the face of a growing inflation looked weaker and weaker, gold became more desirable to many. And silver as well. You know, this gold and silver ratio right now is 62-45 to 1. But really, silver is probably just every bit as much controlled as gold has been over these years. You know, the central banks just don't want to see gold coming up. Another astute reporter, analyst, mentioned yesterday on his broadcast, it's like a thermometer. And you're taking the general temperature of this ailing political body with your gold, and you're looking as gold is starting to go up. The monetary system is developing a fever, all right? Sick, and real sick. As more and more people find out about the Federal Reserve fiat money game, the funny money business, and start to realize that they're involved in a criminal, corrupt fraud against themselves, against their neighbors in our country, against our trading partners around the world, all the places that this toxic sludge called fiat dollars from the Federal Reserve banking system, wherever it goes, it contaminates them too. So anyway, people got out of their paper assets. They got started moving away from gold. You know, the old idea of, you know, Bibles and bullions and bullets and all of that. Been on in the alternative media discourse for some many years, a decade. Anyway, let's go back to the article here. Central banks have been diversifying away from fiat currencies and buying gold, mainly because they do not want their currency reserves valued, devalued away to nothing, said Kerr, K-E-R-R, Patrick Kerr, managing director at Amer Futures Commodities and Options. Continuing, every day that passes, their reserves are worth less and less. And this includes the new big boys on the block, China. All right? It's impacting everybody. In short, quote, there is way too much fiat currency chasing way too little gold, he said. That's because the precious metal is one of the few alternatives to diversifying away from the U.S. dollar, since it is negatively correlated to the U.S. dollar. In other words, when gold goes up, the dollar is ostensibly goes down. We've seen the U.S. dollar index going down, and we've seen gold going up. Continuing, so investors' reaction to the dollar's index dip to a 15-month low earlier this week was a no-brainer. They lifted gold to more record levels. Gold has also been finding support as, quote, some concerns in the world financial system have prompted many to allocate more money into physical gold, close quote. And that's going to be more and more a regular occurrence as time goes on. That's, quote, helping to reduce credit risk and counter any further potential instability. So while some people are investing in the noble metal, aurum and argent, gold and silver, Warren Buffett is investing in another kind of metal, railroads and railroad cars, and all of the rest of it that goes along with it. So there's lots of metals out there. It's just a matter of what tangible are you going to invest in? Dot-coms, dot-bombs, all of this electronic digity-daddity? Ridiculous. There's nothing there. It's all smoke and mirrors. And as you can see, it only takes a simple upgrade to destroy the utility of some of this software. Anyway, continuing along, gold has been finding support again, as some concerns in the world financial system have prompted many to allocate more money into physical gold. We saw that. India buying gold, China's buying gold, Russia's hanging on to theirs, they're mining more. People are looking for more ore deposits everywhere. Some have been talking about, you know, Barrick's, Monk, and talking about peak gold. The moment that happens won't be so obvious. Oh, so the appropriate time to sell gold, quote, will be the time financial stability has returned to a more normal situation, he said, close quote. Now listen to me. Is there ever an appropriate time to sell gold? What would you sell it for? What would you take in exchange for it? Fiat dollars? Right back out of the frying pan into the fire? Right back into the toxic sludge? What would you exchange it for? I'm asking. The moment that happens won't be so obvious. This will probably take some time to happen and shall be a step-by-step process, Panizzuni said. Now look, with this audit the Fed thing, all right, if they're successful and they actually get to pull the covers back on this Ponzi scheme and people around the world get a better understanding of what's going down, would anybody actually sell anything and accept fiat money in return for it? And that goes globally. Continuing in the article, knowing when it's time, but really, realizing when it's time to sell gold is like pulling teeth, the author writes. Picking the perfect market entry or exit point is nearly impossible, said Frank Holmes, chief executive officer of U.S. Global Investors. And it doesn't help that gold is subject to big price swings with its normal range, one standard deviation over any trading 60 trading days, a plus or minus 10%. It goes on more. There's some technical stuff there we don't need to get into. Still, it's fair to say there are quite a few things that could crimp demand for gold and negatively affect the price. Well, one of the things that's going to definitely crimp the demand for gold is as the price continues to go higher and higher, as we mentioned with Vicky yesterday, talking about all of this stuff, kind of in an ad lib, open minds, open line broadcast. As the price of gold continues to skyrocket, once it gets up in the $10,000 range, that alone is going to keep most people out because most people won't be able to afford to buy gold at that price. And only the big hands and the deep pockets will be able to take it. But take it they shall. Continuing, but these potential negative factors do not look like they will happen in the short or the medium time, he said. Julian Phillips, a South Africa-based editor at goldforecaster.com, if anybody ought to know something about gold, South Africa, the Krugerrand, they ought to know something about gold, so let's listen to what he has to say. He believes that a good time to sell gold would be when, quote, confidence is restored in the dollar and the global monetary system. Now, if there's no confidence restoration possible in the funny money fiat dollar, and when people discover that it's an international cabal of international bankster gangsters, and that no matter where you go, the global monetary system is built based upon fraudulent concealment, is there any time to sell gold? Question mark. Continues, this, here's a quote, this quote continues, this means there must be a global monetary cooperation that transcends national interests, currency considerations, and their internal economic interests, he said. Unfortunately, the ingredients to achieve such cooperation are just not present, nor will it be. We've talked about federal or foreign exchange rates before. When you've got something that you want to sell to the England, or something you want to sell to France, or something you want to sell in the marketplace of Switzerland or someplace else, traditionally it's been necessary to convert your dollar into their currency, the foreign exchange. And if they're unbalanced, then, you know, one country's currency is going to exchange for more than the other. That's just the way it is. And so there will be a market and a continuing market for these foreign exchange, but this particular writer here doesn't see that there's going to be any time in the near future where the global monetary system is going to have that balance that's necessary to make it work. Keep in mind, as well, that gold's rally hasn't been all about the dollar. And that's the truth. You go up on Kitco this morning, and take a look at their website, and they've started breaking out the difference between an increase or decrease in the price of gold based off buying and selling versus increases in the dollar. We'll pick it up on the other side of it.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The Diginet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. Diginet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at diginet.net. That's diginet.net. diginet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your Diginet Spy products today, because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Pulling back the curtain to expose the matrix. Axiom Radio with Rob Chowda. Weeknights, 7 to 9 Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, so let's go on into this a little bit further here. These guys are laying it out for us in a pretty well, good way. I think this Myra P. Seifong, MarketWatch's assistant global markets editor based in Tokyo, writing this article off the MarketWatch website. You can get a copy of it for yourself up there. They've got some charts that goes along with this particular discussion. But continuing, it says the one thing to look out for with gold prices at such lofty levels is a collapse, he said. Speculation against the dollar by the carry trade funds and governments is driving the price of gold. So there are other things that are involved in here besides just this specious U.S. dollar. There are buyers and there are sellers in the market. They're driving the prices up and down on a regular basis. And then, of course, there's also the foreign exchange market, Forex. So that's having an impact on it. And he says it's basically governments are trying to are basically driving up the price of gold and buying in at the top of the market. isn't that the way it goes? The problem with governments is they simply can't, they could simply stop buying. They may finally discover they're buying at the top of the market and that the dollar will not fall forever, triggering a collapse in gold price. And of course, you know, we've got this SPDR gold trust out there, the spider on the web, and they have the ability to greatly influence the gold price too. So, you know, the whole idea is market manipulation. This is a Ponzi scheme. We're inside of a casino. Gold has intrinsic value, as does silver, because it has substance and form. Not only is it made, it's an item, it comes from the land, it's lawful money, it's the kind of stuff that our common law system of government was built on, and it has absolutely nothing to do with this fiat money. Not at all. But there's a lot to that, and hopefully we'll have Ronald McDonald and Robert Rowan on soon to discuss it with us about They Own It All, including you, their new book. I've brought that to your attention. It's at newpeopleorder.com is their website. You can go up and look at it yourself. Dropping down further in the article, it says the world is not going to allow Forex traders to trash the dollar and distort the value of other currencies, said Schmidt, adding that the current gold market is a mini bubble driven by marginal futures traders. That's important. Understand, what goes up can go down. Sometimes it can go down in a hurry. And there's lots of different ways of looking at it. You know, there's the idea that, well, you're buying these things and you don't ever intend to sell them, so who cares what the income tax rate is. But somewhere along the line, you're going to need to capitalize, and then the income tax rate is going to be important. So you do want to find out some little bit, at least, about the tax consequences if you're involved in that other Ponzi scheme, that extortion racket. If you're involved in that at all, you're going to have to deal with that if and when you go to sell gold. Beware of it. It continues here in the article. It says, now is not the time to sell, and nor is it the time to buy gold, he said. Gold investors should sit on their profits and watch with glee as the momentum traders get trashed. Here's another quote. I'm a bull. In other words, a bull market means going up. Bearish means it's going down. Forecast it goes up is a bull. Forecast it goes down, it's a bear. But not this week. In this frenzy, he said on Tuesday. In other words, a lot of people, including Jimmy Rogers, are not buying at these high prices. They're just standing on the sidelines watching. Warm up for mania? Then there's the camp who believes gold hasn't even started to warm up yet. And, of course, Robert Chapman and others are in that camp, where we're talking about 10,000, you know, where could it go? Well, it could go as high as it wants to go, I guess. Quote, here's a quote for them. We're still in the early stages of what could become a gold mania, close quote, said Chris Meyer, editor of Agora Financials Capital and Crisis. And certainly if you've heard some of the discussion in the past about the installation of vending machines where people in Europe and in Asia can go to a vending machine, I guess, and they put in their fiat currency and they get back a little wafer of gold. As more of that sort of stuff starts to happen, when you go into your local mall and you see some little kiosk in the middle of the mall selling gold, you know that we're going to be involved in this gold mania. It's a time to be very careful and cautious. While there are a lot more people talking about gold now, and there are, as I said a couple of weeks ago, a month ago or so, as soon as gold started crowding 1,000 and went over it, then and only then did you start seeing the articles coming up on Bloomberg. Watching the London gold fix when they set it at $1,100, you just know they were ready to commit suicide, having to admit that the price is out of their control and it's going up. While there are a lot more people talking about gold, it remains an under-owned asset, he said, with only a small fraction of investors and hardly any institutions owning any gold at all. But we heard about the fund in Texas, government fund in Texas, buying gold as part of their holdings. Besides that, gold would have to go past 2,300 to surpass the all-time inflation-adjusted high set in 1980. Well, 2,300 is very possible. Here's a quote, which most other commodities have already done. So gold is lagging behind. Why is it lagging behind? Because it's got the jackboot of government right on its throat. The gold's ride won't be a smooth one. Gold, here's a quote, has been moving up very quickly, and that means it could see sudden and sharp corrections too. close quote, with the road to 1600, quote, filled with many bumps, close quote, said Kevin Kerr, president of Kevin Kerr Trading International. He added that prices may pull back closer to 1,000 before December the 31st and then resume their climb in the new year. Quote, commodities, including gold, are quickly becoming the currency of a new global economy, the new global order. Commodities, including gold, are quickly becoming the currency of a new global economy. Certainly you've heard about copper. China has been buying bulk copper and hoarding it in vaults for some time. I saw an article on the web this past week that showed the inside of one of these holding areas where these huge rolls of copper were stored in China, buying up the copper market. Well, copper pennies, remember. Other things could be there. Commodities, again, including gold, are quickly becoming the currency of a new global economy, and the situation for gold is like a locomotive that has been put in motion and that you can't stop that easily, said Gisbert Groenewegen, a managing partner at Silver Arrow Capital Management. This is the golden age, he said. Okay, food for thought. More to meets the eye in this story of the escalation of the gold prices. That's why we talk about it here on the broadcast. I don't sell gold, and I don't sell silver, and I'm not encouraging you to do either of it. I just want you to be aware of it and realize that there are many out there that are, you know, fanning the flame. It's something that you need to weigh very carefully. It's a decision that needs to be brought about with intelligence rather than just spontaneous buying. Talking about the work that money performs, going back to our everyday problems in economics, Wood Simons here, book that we've been just touching on a little bit of late. Trading or exchange of goods involved many difficulties when men depended entirely upon the barter method. We've been talking about barter back on Oracle Unleashed on Saturday night and on yesterday's broadcast as well. This barter method keeps coming in. But trading or exchange of goods involved many difficulties when men depended entirely upon the barter method. If one man had an article he wished to trade, it was often hard for him to find another person who had something that could be traded exactly for his article. So then it goes on and lists three different ways of styling this argument. One, aids in making exchanges of goods. As markets increased in size and traders began to exchange goods produced in widely separated areas to be delivered at different times, it became necessary to find some better means for making these exchanges. And no, the United States, from the time of colonial expansion, has never been a closed market. A closed market can't work. It doesn't work. We can be self-reliant as a company, as a country, but self-sufficiency doesn't function that way. We were never set up to be a closed system. We were heavily involved in the export trade. The pine forests were mass. The pine and the oak timber was the material made that you would use in shipbuilding. Selling ships became one of the things that we would do. The growing of hemp, making hemp sails, making hemp ropes, and all of the rigging for sailing vessels. All of that, it's all commerce. Everything happening in the South on the plantations, the cotton, and all of the rest of that. That was all global trade, globalism, international trade and commerce, foreign exchange, all of that. There's nothing new to this stuff. It's been with us ever since the founding of the country. Okay. Another instance, a shoe factory may sell its shoes to a shoe dealer for the exchange, and for the exchange receive money. We'll pick that up on the other side. We're going to start hour number two and start a little bit of book learning. We're going to talk about money, economic history, budgets, and as much as we can cram in an hour. Stay with us.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic Spark Plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic Spark Plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
History will always remember those with the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, November the 20th, 2009, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Definitely come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And folks, if you ever experience any dead air at the beginning of one of my broadcasts, rest assured I'm on the air. I'm here at the plate every single day, been that way for 18 months or better on internet radio, more reliable than the Energizer Bunny. Rarely ever ill, always on time, but sometimes the IT doesn't support our efforts. But nevertheless, with all that said, we are coming to you Monday through Friday live on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and always, always, if we can, we'll find some news. Always have plenty of facts, and you know the solutions. And if we ignore those solutions we've talked about before, then there's not much I can do for you. I'll just teach you stuff that maybe you'll use and maybe you won't use. But let's understand this as clearly as possible, that this financial system is going to need to be replaced, and it needs to be replaced soon. And it's not going to be done by standing outside with your bullhorn on the 22nd and shouting down the Federal Reserve. We are the debtors. And the debtor does not command the creditor the terms of the contract. We're inside out and upside down in this system, and few, and just barely me, understand what is actually going on. And so it's important to understand some of this information. Certainly, the economic woes that we're facing globally are driving much of what's happening. Money, 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 money. You know, always money, greed, power, that brass ring of power. It doesn't know tongue, it doesn't know tribe, it doesn't know creed or color. Anybody and everybody that has the desire to reach for that brass ring of power is going to be welcomed into the power club at the top. They will be welcomed. And that includes you. If you want to go for the power, reach for the power. If you reach for the ring and promise to give your soul away for that, you will be accepted into their club, because greed and power, influence, all that money, riches, wealth, the wealth of the world, I promise you, all of the nations, you remember the Bible story, that's the name of the game in their club. That's why we have so many different tongues, tribes, and creeds, and nationalities, and religions all up there clamoring and grabbing and grasping for that ring of power. And it's going to take someone from every single country and every single corner and every single county all across the world to reach for that brass ring of power in order to implement this global technocracy. And so we look at what we can do locally to alter that. And we also need to understand more about what's really going on economically from a global standpoint and politically, globally, from that standpoint, to be able to develop a better idea. As our caller yesterday mentioned, that back in 1776, the boys were all awash in revolution and desires for freedom and other things, and they came up with a system. And the system was almost immediately co-opted by Alexander Hamilton, the bean counter from the West Indies, brought in the central bank, the strong central bank. But maybe there was a need for that. Maybe I just sell him a little bit too short because of his connections and his affiliations. But anyway, we're going to need to have some form of a medium of exchange. That's going to be there. And so what will it be? How will the system look? How would it work? How could it work for greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and despotic control? Honest weights, honest measures, and all of that. True confidence. The exchange of something of substance and has both substance and form for our labor, our property. So there's a lot to all of this. We're going to go into that again out of the textbooks and out of the encyclopedias for the balance of today's broadcast. Your calls are always welcome at 866-841-1065.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again on our Friday, November the 20th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We definitely come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. And as we go into this study this morning again, we're looking at the economic interpretation of history. And economic history is a study in its own right, but from our other textbook, The Principles of Economics, D.C. Heath, published back in 1953, we go back again to this section, Free Enterprise versus the Controlled Economy, just briefly, where the author writes, economic functions of the state. We can derive four theories of economic function of the state. These are individualism, collectivism, socialism, and communism. Now, at the time they were writing, 1953, this is what was being taught in the university level. Individualism is that the theory is that theory of economic function of the state, which holds that the government has little place in business beyond serving the police function. We have marriage laws, traffic laws, criminal laws, and civil laws. Laws are just as necessary as applied to business as they are in any other area of human activity. It's those laws that are the distinguishment, if you will. They distinguish liberty and freedom. Freedom in society, freedom is something that man has perhaps never enjoyed. But it's that goal, it's that one lofty goal that I like to reach for, where freedom is popular. It's the best hope for America. Liberty, on the other side of the coin, is a necessary stage of human development, where man in perfect freedom is unpredictable. You could call it free will, you could call it lots of things, but man in free will, man in perfect freedom is unpredictable. And so we have, governments have been instituted amongst men to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they do that through the establishment of laws. Those laws then reflect liberty. You're at liberty within the limit bound set by the law, if that's making any sense. It's repeated, individualism encompasses such police action by the state. Beyond this, however, government has highly restricted functions. And so in our system, our founders envisioned a constitutionally limited form, Republican form, of representative government, instituted as it was to provide the blessings, the security for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The second theory of the economic function of the state is collectivism. And it is that theory in which people acting in collective groups are able to pass legislation and to secure favored positions in respect to government action in the economic world. And as I've stated numerous times, the sole purpose of political parties is to gain proximity to or complete power or control of governments. And in this pluralistic, Harold J. Lasky, pluralistic world that we live in, where we have the World Wildlife Fund and Foundation, we've got the Sierra Club, and we've got this group, and we've got that group, and every Bugs and Bunny and Union Trade group, we have the collectivist system where people acting in collective groups are able to pass legislation and to secure a favored position in respect to government action in the economic world. So it's individualism versus collectivism. And a third theory of the economic function of the state is socialism. The generally recognized definition of socialism is that theory in which the state owns the factors of production or exercises relatively complete control over them, thereby assuming the operation of the process of production in the economy, but not the process of consumption. Corollary there, then, is communism. It's one of the several kinds of socialism. Communism is one of the several kinds of socialism. You cut a communist, a socialist bleeds every time. One kind is Marxian socialism, which was the original movement as promulgated by Karl Marx. But remember that Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels were hired pens, if you will. They were hired to write the Communist Manifesto. It didn't spring up whole cloth out of their minds. Marxian socialism included four important principles. The first is the economic interpretation of history. And so you can see that in the United States, in our colleges and our universities, they teach and taught the economic interpretation of history. It's one of the planks of Marxian communism. And that's what we're studying, this economic interpretation of history. It's but one way of looking at the world. It's not the only way. It's but one way. But this is the way that the Regurgitorium, especially on Bloomberg.com, looks at the world. It's all from the lens of economy. So it behooves us to pay attention to it. Back to our other textbook, Everyday Problems in Economics. The work money performs quickly. Here, we've got about 2 minutes before the break. Another instance, again, a shoe factory may sell its shoes to a shoe dealer and for the exchange receive money. Now, at this time, money was still in existence at the time of this writing. Continuing, hundreds of customers come to the store with money they have earned in various ways and spend a part of it for shoes. The money enables these exchanges to be readily made. Therefore, money fosters division of labor. That's very important. Very important. The division of labor is what precludes, if you will, the idea of being self-sustaining. In the division of labor, no one person has all of the tools, the talents, the ability, or the time to be all things in all cases for oneself. And so one becomes self-reliant, working within a community. Communitarian law figures into that. Dropping down a little further here, again, today men do not produce much for their own use, but they work for wages in order to obtain money that gives them purchasing power so they can buy the various articles they desire. And you can take men out of that sentence and put in nations or countries, and it's just every bit as valid. Measure of value and common denominator of value. Another important function of money is to measure the value of goods or services. Money becomes the yardstick for measuring goods or services. Imagine there's no such thing as money in the country in which you live. Assume that you go into a store and see a sweater you want. For what would you ask? You cannot ask its price, for its price is value expressed in terms of money. If there is no money, what would you carry into the store to exchange for the sweater? You cannot take a pig, for you do not know the value of the pig because there's no money to represent its value. Well, you're not sure the man wants the pig in exchange for his sweater. We'll be right back.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The Intel Strike Report.
And I just want to thank you for everything that you guys are doing to help people understand what's going on in this world.
You know what? You guys, thank you for what you do, and keep doing it.
We're looking at the work that money actually does perform. The trading or the exchange of goods involves many difficulties when men depended entirely upon the barter method. It's kind of opening it up here, laying it out so that we can look at it more carefully. The authors continue. Well, I'll go back and restate what I said before, what the author wrote. You cannot take a pig, and this is the idea of getting going into a store to exchange for a sweater. You cannot take a pig. Because you don't know the value of the pig, because there's no money to represent its value. Moreover, you're not sure that the man who owns the store wants to take a pig in exchange for a sweater. Real basic. If you're studying arithmetic and are asked to add one half and one third, the first step in the process is to reduce both fractions to the common denominator, a sixth. Of course, they don't teach that in school probably anymore. Maybe they do, but this reliance on IT and computers and calculators and all that, who could do it longhand? Who could even respond quickly? One half is changed to 3/6 and one third to 2/6. Then adding the numerators of these fractions gives 5/6, so the money acts as a common denominator of value. The price of cloth, quoted by a merchant as 10 cents per yard, gives the measure of value for a yard length. For 5 yards, then, the cost will be 50 cents. Now, this is another window into understanding. This is another window of understanding what is economic history, what is the study of economic history. In studying these texts published in the 1950s, they are obviously using pertinent and timely material woven into the textbook that gives us an understanding that at the time that this book, that this wasn't an absurd statement, that this was the condition as it was. A merchant would quote 10 cents per yard, which would give the measure of value for a yard length. For 5 yards of cloth, the cost would be 50 cents. Stop into your nearest Walmart store or some one of these other stores where you buy cloth. What do they call them? Yardage shops. and see what the price of cloth is these days. A student wishes to work to pay his room rent. The landlady tells him the room is $4 per week, and he charges $1 per day for the work he is to do. Work and room have been reduced to the common denominator of dollars. It is then possible to tell how many days per week the student must work to pay his room rent for 1 week. And you think, oh my goodness, $4 per week for room rent. In a rooming house, obviously, the landlady has you getting a room in a rooming house. Well, I mean to tell you, this is 1950. In 1970, I rented a nice, sunny studio apartment in a fourplex, half a block to a bus line on the very edge of the downtown area of Seattle with free buses running electric trolleys. $50 a month. It's probably $1,000 or more today. Standard of deferred payments. A farmer is in need of money to build a new silo on his farm. The bank where he does business is willing to lend him enough money to build the silo, with the understanding that he will pay the full amount, plus interest, in 6 months. If there were no such thing as money, the farmer could not determine how much of anything he needed, and the banker would not know what to expect in 6 months. With a monetary standard, the farmer can give the banker a note, expressed in terms of dollars, to run for 6 months. At the end of that time, and again, that's a promissory note, at the end of that time, he can give him back his money, together with the interest due. Such a transaction is one that represents a deferred payment. And deferred payment is all we have available to us by government mandate when we use the fiat dollar. It's nothing more than deferred payment. It's not payment. It can pay nothing. It's a relationship between the creditor, which is the Federal Reserve banking system, and the debtor, the United States. And we are caught up in this Ponzi scheme because we're forced to use the debt owed to the Federal Reserve by the United States. And we can't get out of it. If you buy a book at a bookstore and pay for it at the time of purchase, pay for it, the transaction is known as an immediate payment, provided that the medium of exchange had both form and substance. In other words, you gave them a silver certificate or a gold certificate or a silver coin or a gold coin in any of the fractional denominations. A 10-ounce coin, all the way down to a mill we talked about yesterday. Continuing, if you ask for credit and pay for the book at the end of the month, the transaction is called a deferred payment. It's always on credit. Deferred payments are closely related to the value of money. Due to a change in the price level, the value of money at the time of a transaction may be quite different than the value it has 6 months later when the debt is paid. So as the economy rises and falls, as inflation plunges, you know, rises and deflation plunges, recessions and all of that, the more money that there is in circulation at any one time plays into these things, especially when you're making deferred payments, when you're on a note. A little bit more and we'll close out on this. It says, the value of money when borrowed may be great. That is, its power of exchange for goods may be great at the time of the transaction because the price level is low. But if the price level has risen before the money is paid to the creditor, 6 months later, the money has a lower purchasing power than it had when it was borrowed. Now, I'm going to set that aside. And we'll go over here and take a look a little bit about economic history again. We started all this talk out talking about the, you know, human ecology. And we're still involved in human ecology. It has to do with spatial and other things. But we're still involved in this, trying to figure out what is the importance of economic history in all of this. Economic history, the idea of building budgets and whatnot, is a rather late phenomena. to give you an idea of how this is developed here out of the local newspaper. Barry County is gearing up for the 2010 census. Efforts were beginning last week for the federal 2010 census in Barry County, and it continues. Maddox has been named to oversee the count in Barry County. Presiding Commissioner Terry Warren has been named the chairman of the Barry County Complete Count Committee. He's the chairman. Presiding Commissioner Terry Warren, I've told you before the importance of getting involved at the county committee level. It's out of these county committees that all of these appointments are made, and here we have this fellow, Terry Warren, who is the precinct man for my local voting precinct, who also happens to be the commissioner of the county, the presiding commissioner of Barry County. The census count will by the federal government will be handled differently than previous counts in 2000 and 1990. First, mailings will be sent to each household by mail for the count, which will begin in early 2010. In the past, mailings have not proved to be highly successful. This time, more effort will be made to make the count more user-friendly, the count, the county, the count, the Lord, your master, according to Maddox, by naming members of the committee from over the county. So they'll reach out into all the county areas and get new people to go out and spy and snoop and poop the neighbors. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stick with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
Each year, millions of children in developing nations die from disease that could be eliminated with just clean drinking water.
But 2 years ago, we introduced C-Panel, the easy-to-use, sun-powered water distiller, robustly designed to provide sparkling clean water in developing nations. Now, these same units can give you delicious bottled water, remove fluoride, toxins, and bacteria. They can help you prepare for disasters or provide pure water on boats, RVs, and off-grid locations. Each affordable C-Panel will make up to 2 gallons per day in hot climates. And unlike water filters, they'll remove salt and dissolve toxins. Just fill the basin with seawater, tap water, or contaminated water, and let sunlight pass and distill it. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. Just tasty, healthy water from nearly any source.
Please visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com, or call 205-246-6492.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again, and this Berry County here in southwest Missouri. Folks, this is small town America, rural America, gearing up for the 2010 census. An office will be set up in the historic courthouse, which will be staffed at least 3 days each week between March the 19th and April the 19th. Yeah, it's March right in there, March to April. This is the time of bonfires and things like that, to assist persons in filling out forms for those who fail to mail in their questionnaires. Are you going to be summoned to the historic courthouse and browbeaten until you've gotten your form filled out, perhaps? For example, at least one committee person has already been named for Washburn, blah, blah, blah. The county committee will oversee the count and aid getting a complete count of the population. Of course, they're not just counting the population. Judy Randall, a teacher in Southwest School District, is going to be very involved in all that. It's anticipated, according to Warren, that committee persons will have been chosen by the next meeting of the complete count. It's called the Complete Count, capital C, Complete Count Committee, the CCC, by the time the next meeting is held on December the 2nd. Most of the initial efforts at the meeting here last week were to acquaint the large number of manufacturing establishments in Cassville and Monette, our two largest towns, with the necessity of informing employees to secure a complete count. So we go into the breadbasket. We bring in another one of those pluralistic things, this Chambres de Commerce. We bring in the employers who are the tax collectors for the Fed and the state and the county. We hit the people right where they work. They have to choose between either going to work or filling out their forms, so they'll fill out their little forms. But what has all this got to do with economic history? Well, this, my friends, is part of economic history. This idea of having a complete count eluded economists and economic historians for centuries for various reasons. Let's go into it a little bit. Economic history in the United States. Economic history may be studied from three distinct points of view. First, economic events may be presented simply in their chronological sequence. This type of study, economic chronology, early became dominant in America. Secondly, the historian may attempt to establish a sequence of filiation in the unfolding of economic events, devise perhaps a series of stages of economic development. This genetic approach is illustrated occasionally in American economic history, as in the work of Richard T. Ely, J.R. Commons, Isaac Luce, and Blanche Hazard. But it's not much emphasized, partly because the history of America is so brief that it does not present a very long or distinct succession of stages. Of course, I'm working out of the 1930s edition of the Encyclopedia of Social Sciences. The third type of study attempts a logical interpretation of economic developments in terms of the external factors which affect economic arrangements of the relations between the various parts of the economic system and of the influence of economic changes on social and political history. This approach to economic history has existed in the United States more or less from the first, increasing in popularity after the disappearance of the frontier in the 1890s. The history of most countries has to account for the rise of an interest in things economic. In the United States, however, there never was an all-prevailing religion or a political prepossession that smothered the economic realities of life. In the earliest pamphlets describing Virginian and New England, contemporary with settlement itself, there was a good deal of economic matter set forth. How the natives secured a living and what settlers had to do to survive or to get rich. The history of provinces and states, which appeared later, also contained much scattered economic description. Before I go any further, I'll go over here. Official statistics have long constituted one of the most important sources for the study of American economic history. I'll come back to that. But how important it is to understand when we talk about the IT these days. this global, this GIS, Geographic Information System, GPS, the Geospatial Positioning System, this new GIS, GPS, global governance scheme being brought on to Senatus, how very important it was for the development of the computer so that we could actually get down to the point where we had computing power sufficient to put a number, associate a number with every living thing on the planet. This is like an economist's wet dream, a statistician. Official statistics, again, have long constituted one of the most important sources for the study of American economic history. There were the early colonial reports to the Lords of Trade, the Lords of Trade, the reports of the Treasury Department from 1790 onward, and the decennial census enumerations. In 1810, manufacturers were included in the federal census. You see, and we have the same thing happening right here in the local newspaper, Small Town America, the 2010 census, bringing in the manufacturers and the employers, letting them know how vitally important it is to have a complete count. A notable statistical table of the United States from 1774 to 1799 was published in 1799, and private compilers published convenient summaries of statistical data. In America, as in England, for the first special branch of economic history developed was commercial. Commercial. We're all in commerce here. We're all acting in commerce here. Everything that we do is in commerce. International, foreign, exchange. In 1783, Lord Sheffield had maintained in a book, which attained great popularity, the Observation on the Commerce of American States. One of the reasons why I really like to go to these encyclopedias, and particularly in this series of articles, is because they're just laying it out. Boom, 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 boom. Author, text, the title of a book, and the date published. Author, title of the book, date published. How can you create a bibliography of all this? You have to study this information and then jump up on the internet and see if you can get copies of the more interesting ones for your own library. This was exactly what those erstwhile colonies had first come to fear. Let me give it to you again. In 1783, Lord Sheffield had maintained in a book which attained great popularity that while the colonies had gained political independence, they must remain economically dependent. This was exactly what those erstwhile colonies had come to fear. Adam Smith, set your colonies free. Jeremy Bentham, set the colonies free. Set the colonies free, but retain the purse, was the cry. Don't bother going over to Iraq and keeping your forces in Iraq. How expensive and foolish that is. We learned that lesson back in the 1770s. Just give them the impression that they're now a democracy operating as an equal, on an equal footing, but keep their bank. Infect their monetary system with the international bankster gangsters. In 1791, Tench Coxe made a notable reply to Sheffield, published later as A View of the United States of America, 1794. I'll let the rest of it go. Very interesting, all of these various books and magazines. The disastrous monetary and banking experiments in the first half of the century led to much controversial writing and induced gouge to compile a short history of paper money and banking in the United States, 1833. The disastrous monetary and banking experiments in the first half of the century led to much controversial writing. You see, you've got to bring in as much as you possibly can from other areas to build a better understanding of time and time periods. Only in an article such as this would such a bold statement be made about the beginnings of America, the disastrous monetary and banking experiences in the first half of the century. Toward the end of the century, A.M. Davis published a number of works bearing on the history of colonial banking and currency. The same period marks the beginning of the literary activities of Davis R. Dewey, the author of numerous scholarly works on the history of American currency, banking, and public finance. The history of manufactures lagged behind monetary and financial. Dropping down further, many different great books to check out. Many more social studies must be made, particularly of significant regions, before anything like an adequate general story can be told of American agriculture. The general economic history of the United States was undertaken surprisingly early, and as was to be expected, with only partial success. We'll continue with that in a little bit more. Maybe we'll touch on other subjects as well in the last segment. We'll be right back.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
How many times have you been in a situation where having a hidden audio or video recorder would have made a difference in your life? In the past, owning a hidden video recorder has been expensive and too much of a bother to carry. That was then. This is now. Introducing Diginet Spy Sunglasses. These sunglasses contain a small hidden camera that will record up to 4 hours of real-time audio and video. The Diginet sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful searches and seizures, town hall meetings, proving your innocence, or any other situation you'd like to record. And if sunglasses aren't for you, check out the DigiPen. It does the same great job as the sunglasses, but in the form of a functional pen. Video never lies. Watch Big Brother back. Visit diginet.net. That's diginet.net. 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 Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 today.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And we've returned once again, and I hope in this that we can instill in the listening audience a desire to find out more about this material. I certainly don't have the time in even a two-hour broadcast to go into it at the depth that I would like to, even though I'm certainly not afraid of having one broadcast followed by another broadcast followed by another broadcast all on the same topic. I think until we air some of this stuff out, we'll still be wandering around in the dark. You know, we have the Iconoclast report that comes up on the weekends. You might check out her broadcast. But an iconoclast is one who attacks venerated institutions or ideas. And so what we're doing here with this idea of inquiring into economic history is coming to understand that with the rise of the Illuminati, with the rise of what became the entrepreneurs, with the rise of statism, all of these various and sundry tools, including economic history and the economic interpretation of history, became very, very important for controlling larger and ever larger populations from one continent to the next. And so it's, in my mind, important to get the background material, the backstory, on some of this, so that we're not led astray by every little wind of doctrine that blows into our sails or up our stovepipe. Continuing, interest has been added to economic history by the emphasis upon the economic factor in American civilization. In 1893, Turner pointed out the significance of the frontier for American life. Then it goes on, talks about the Beards. They're very interesting. I've got several of their works. The American economic history is not always sprung from native soil or home conditions. At Harvard, Dunbar, who had just returned from Europe, began in 1883 to give a course on the economic history of Europe and America since 1763. In 1892, Ashley, appointed to the first chair, and I've mentioned this before, in economic history, brought English and German methods and points of view to Harvard. How many times? How very important it is to understand that the universities can be centers of the change agent, if you will. And that one group of students after another group of students after another group of students can be indoctrinated when they come into the classroom, desiring to learn more, to be led into light and more light, and then be taught by someone who has eloquent presentation skills and useful information and knowledge. But here we can see that economic history was being brought to the Harvard by Ashley, and he was bringing in English and German methods and points of view. Since 1902, except for a period of about 5 years, Edwin Gay has lectured on the subject at Harvard and has come nearest to founding a school of economic history in America. At Columbia, it goes down, drop down, at Harvard, Columbia, Yale, Minnesota, Buffalo, all have established professorships of economic history. Recently, Harvard has been fostering research in business history. A professorship in business history has been established, and the Journal of Economic and Business History has appeared quarterly since 1928. Post-Federal Reserve, prior to the declaration of the bankruptcy in 1933, laying this stuff all down. Historical economics came to America not only through Ashley and Gay at Harvard, but through various scholars who had studied in Germany. Although they were not themselves economic historians, Herbert Baxter Adams, Richard T. Ely at Johns Hopkins University, and H.W. Farnham at Yale assisted in developing the economic point of view or in collecting economic historical data. Economists have frequently written their dissertations in economic history. The outstanding effort to organize work in economic history on a large scale was made under the auspices of the Carnegie Institution. And so now enter in the foundations and understand their power and influence, which you can find written about in Renee Wurmser's book under the same title. The foundations, the power, and their influence. The creation of the Council on Foreign Relations. The London School of Economics. All this happening at this time period. Economic history in America has had no leader to produce a monumental work upon which others might build their reputations either by following or criticizing it. You know, and everyone's heard about Ludwig von Mises and all that. Milton Friedman and his wife Rose and all that. Certainly, Ludwig von Mises, the von Mises Institute, the Austrian School of Economics, they have a leader there, a leader that has produced a monumental work, which others might build upon. So there's more for you to study in that area as well. So in future broadcasts, we'll discuss the economic history as a discipline and learn a little bit more about who are some of these economic historians and how absolutely important the development of computer technology is to be able to get inside of the marketplace and begin to play it like a violin, a Stradivarius, so that some can just walk away with trillions and trillions and trillions of Federal Reserve notes, but certainly they might be exchanged for islands somewhere. We talked about the American budgets. As late as the turn of the century, this out of the Encyclopedia Americana, again in review, as late as the turn of the century, governmental budgets were rarely discussed in the United States outside of academic circles. And so now we've brought in the academic circles, and we're still talking about budgets. We talked about how the president was set up in that office and how this Bureau of Budget mushroomed. Huge agency. State budgets. Although the work of the President Taft's Commission on Economy and Efficiency was neglected by Congress for the time being, it found immediate response on the part of the state governments. So what started out over in Adam Weishaupt's mind, this idea of the economic interpretation of history, the Illuminati, if you will, finds its way now all the way coming across to the state budgets. And, of course, the counties have budgets as well. The financial procedure of these governments in most cases was as defective and as open to political abuses as that of the national government. As open to political abuses. That's always the solution, my friend. Unless we abolish the established two-party political system, which divides us so thoroughly, and until we can understand and embrace what is pluralism, we will continue down this collectivist trail, which will be our certain ruin. No doubt about it. In handling financial matters, each state legislature followed the practice of working through standing committees in its houses in very much the same way as did Congress. And Aristotle said, such as they begin badly, they cannot help but to end badly. They forgot what it was to be representative. But as we study the economic history as a discipline, we're going to find out that representative is one of the critical keys to understanding that discipline. Financial planning, such as it was, rested with the legislature and its committees, the state executive taking practically no part. We get involved in this distinction between free enterprise and the controlled economy, the planned economy. I read to you the words of Aldous Huxley out of his Brave New World. We've discussed Auguste Comte in the past. What is sociology? Who is its founder? What is meant by humanitarianism and altruism? And why is that important? Huge, huge issues have changed our relationship in this world, as Martin Buber styled it, from I-thou, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, to I-it, licenses, privileges, regulations, and taxes. So much to think about, so little time. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again on Monday, if Skype permits. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Sometimes authorities don't tell the truth. Many businesses, traffic intersections, and patrol cars are now equipped with cameras. Big Brother is watching, but now you can watch Big Brother back without Big Brother even knowing it. Introducing DigiSpy sunglasses. These high-resolution DigiSpy sunglasses come with either 4GB or 8GB of flash memory, allowing you to record digital footage while doing everyday activities. DigiSpy sunglasses contain a small, high-quality hidden camera that can record up to 4 hours of real-time video and audio. The DigiNet Spy sunglasses are perfect for traffic stops, unlawful search and seizures, town hall meetings, anywhere you need indisputable proof. DigiNet also offers the same audio-video technology in the functional DigiPen. Check out the complete line of products, including mobile DVRs, and see the video quality at DigiNet.net. That's DigiNet.net. DigiNet.net. Or call 1-888-344-6681. 1-888-344-6681 for your DigiNet Spy products today. Because video never lies.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.